Now, we are continuing the series we started last week called Joining God in the Renewal of All Things. That's the vision of our church. Pull out this booklet. Now, we handed out these booklets a couple of weeks ago, and you guys told me that you were going to bring it back each week, so I don't need to ask you. I know that 100% of you have your booklets with you, so no need to hold them in the air or anything. That's fine. We're not really working out of them this week, so I'm sure this applies to none of you, but no worries if you don't have it this week. If you're saying, I don't know what this booklet talk is, there's a booklet on the way out. You'll see there's a table on your way out, big stack of them. Grab a booklet. You certainly need one per household. And really what we're doing over the course of this series is we're kind of not really, but kind of bringing membership class into Sunday mornings. And so last week to that end, we talked about the vision of our church. If you haven't heard that message, that's one to get on the podcast or on our website for sure. And this week we're continuing that, and we're going to briefly here talk about some of our history in the Vineyard, like what is this, where did the Association of Vineyard Churches even come from, and a little bit about what makes us theologically distinct. So we're gonna work through that stuff together. Let me say a quick prayer here, and then we'll just dive headlong into that. So Lord, we welcome your presence here, and thank you that you're always with us when we gather corporately. Now we invite you to speak to us individually, and help us to hear from you and receive whatever it is you have for us here as we gather. And as we pray every week, Lord, would you let your kingdom come and your will be done in this room, even as it is in heaven. That's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Little tiny bit of history for the Vineyard. The Vineyard's earliest roots trace back to a guy named John Wimber, who was saved in the early 60s while chain-smoking his way through a Quaker-led Bible study. That's one way to meet Jesus. That's how he met Jesus. And Wimber was this really interesting guy. Is a really accomplished musician. In fact, after the message here, we'll sing a song that he wrote. But most notably, he did a lot of music with the Righteous Brothers, who you may be familiar with. He produced some of their music, played keys and sax, and he had a lot of success in the music industry. And it was kind of very much in that sort of sex, drugs, and rock and roll culture that was pervasive in the 60s, especially where he was in Southern California, where the hippie culture was pretty high. That was a pun. Did you get it? It's pretty high. But then Wimber met Jesus, and the Lord just completely rearranged his life. And right out of the gate, he just sort of, I'll start at square one here, he started studying the Bible, and especially reading through the Gospels, just in those first few weeks of knowing the Lord. And he was fascinated by the words of Jesus and the works of Jesus. The words and the works. He's always talking about the things Jesus said and the things that Jesus did. And so as a brand new Christian, he kept going to church, expecting to do the stuff that he read about in the Bible. And then that never really seemed to happen. So I want to show you a video. It's about 3 minutes long. Wimber talking about that very experience. Then I'll come back up and take it from there.
We understand that it can't be done.
All right, isn't that good? I love the perspective. He says, well, it might as well be us. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't it be us? We love Jesus. We have a scripture as our guide. Why in the world wouldn't it be us? So that was Wimber. And the Vineyard is built around this idea, and this is very important, the idea that we can have the attention to teaching and doctrine and scripture that makes kind of the evangelical portion of the church and the world so incredibly wonderful and strong. And at the same time, without relinquishing that, we can really embrace the Holy Spirit's ongoing work among us, which is what makes the Pentecostal church so great and useful. And all the while, acknowledging and rejecting the extremes that have plagued both sides of that spectrum. So we take the good and leave the bad. And that's incredibly idealistic, I know. And yet, that's the goal. That's what we're striving for. The Vineyard language for that is, we call it the quest for the radical middle. And it is a quest, but it's certainly a worthwhile one. So John Wimber, a quote from him that I think sums this up very well. He said, all word, and by word he means the studying of the word, and no spirit, and here he's referring to embracing the work and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All word and no spirit, we dry up. And if you think about it, if you're a church rat, you've been around a little bit, you've seen all these examples. All word and no spirit, we dry up. All spirit and no word, we blow up, all right? When people emphasize the Holy Spirit and they don't remain tethered to Scripture in that, things can get wild and weird in no time, all right? All spirit and no word, we blow up with the Spirit and the Word, we grow up. And that's the goal. To not dial them both back to some, but to crank them both up, both the Spirit and the Word, and do so in a way that leaves the extremes. And that's the idea. Take the best of both worlds, leave the extremes. Now, to be clear, I love that as a philosophy. I think that's a wonderful philosophy. But this is more than a philosophical approach. The reason why I love the Vineyard so much, the reason why I'm in, is the theology behind that approach. We're gonna sort of graze that theology here today, because here's the thing. That theology, and this is true of all theology, okay? It can get really granular and technical and hard to understand. In fact, the terminology for what I am referencing today is called enacted, inaugurated eschatology in orthodoxy. I remember going to a conference, and Derek Wimber, who's like a, Derek Morphew, not Wimber. Derek Morphew is like a living legend in the theological world. They said, we're going to learn today about enacted, inaugurated eschatology and orthodoxy. I was like, I'm in the wrong place. I don't know what any of those words means. Okay. And then, but then I realized short for that is E-I-E-I-O. And then I was like, I'm going to be okay. We can, we're going to be all right. So look, there's some technical theological stuff that sits underneath this, and several times over the years we have taken several weeks to unpack all of that and to work through all of that, and we will do that again. But for today, just a very brief introduction. That's the plan for today, and all of this centers around Jesus' teaching regarding the kingdom of God. And Jesus, if you're a Bible nerd, you've read again and again and again, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like, 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 over and over and over. In fact, some theologians will argue that Jesus, in every teaching, he was never not teaching about the kingdom of God. That was always his subject. And so we talked about it a lot, but just to be really honest here, what Jesus said about the kingdom of God was really confusing. It was just super confusing. Now, the people in his audience, when he was speaking, when we referenced the kingdom of God to them, they thought, okay, well, that's the end of the world. Like, when the kingdom of God comes, that's the end of the age. That's when God renews everything. That was shorthand for the end of the world. But what Jesus said, is speaking into that context, threw that off. It was really confusing. So one of the things that Jesus said a whole lot is the kingdom of God is here, like right now. Like the kingdom of God, you think of it as an end of the world thing. I'm telling you, it's a present reality. So Matthew 12, verse 28, Jesus said, if I'm casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. Now, he said that right after he cast out demons by the Spirit of God. So he said, if that just happened, and it did, then that means the kingdom of God is right here, right now. Which was sort of paradigm shattering for them. I love another example of this. This one's my favorite. Luke 17, 20 and 21. On the day the Pharisees asked Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? And think about it. In their minds, the question they're asking is, hey, Jesus, when's the end of the world? All right? They're trying to play Stump the Messiah. So they've got, here's their thing. Tell us about the end of the age. And Jesus replied, the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. In other words, it ain't where you're looking. Verse 21. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there. For the kingdom of God is already among you. Now think about that. Hey, Jesus, when's the end of the world? His answer, you're standing in it. It's the air you're breathing, buddy. Well, that's confusing. So Jesus said, the kingdom of God, it's here. It's present reality. But that's not all he said. Even on that very subject, he said other things. So he would say, the kingdom of God, at other times, at times he'd say, the kingdom of God is here. Other times he'd say, the kingdom of God isn't here. I don't know where you got that idea. The kingdom of God isn't here now, but it's almost here. Like, it could come at any second. So Jesus' most frequent sermon, this is his most frequent altar call. The first example of it is in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. The kingdom of God is near. Repent. Turn away from your sin. The kingdom of God is near. It's all, at any second, the kingdom of God is coming. At any second, it's going to be here. So repent. This is the idea of, like, if you're waiting for the rain and the clouds have gathered and you can smell it in the air, you know, you can almost feel it, okay? It's going to rain any second, but it's not yet raining. Which, I don't know if you looked out the window yesterday, but that was all day yesterday. Did anybody do that? They look, hey, when's it going to rain? You look out, any second. just any second. That's how it was all day yesterday. And this is very much how Jesus taught about the kingdom of God. Is the kingdom of God here? No, but it could come at any second. Another example in Mark chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus went on to say, I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the kingdom of God arrive in great power. He said, no, it's these people in this generation right now, you're going to see this. So it's not here yet, but don't blink, right? So sometimes he said the kingdom of God is here. Other times he says, it's not here, but it's almost here. I mean, any second. But then at other times, to make it even more confusing, he said, you know what? You know how you guys are thinking the kingdom of God is an end of the world thing? Yeah, you're right. It is. It's an end of the world type of thing. So Jesus' disciples at one point, they kind of cornered him on this subject, and they're like, enough already. Just tell us about, you know, the coming of the kingdom. Tell us about all this stuff. And Jesus gives them a long teaching, and I encourage you to read it on your own. It's Matthew 24 and 25. And essentially, the takeaway is, Jesus said, yeah, just like you were thinking, it's an end of the world thing. The kingdom of God coming is an end of the world reality. In Luke chapter 19, he gives this parable about people who were waiting for a very, 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 very long time, waiting for their master to return. And in verse 11 of Luke 19, he says specifically that Jesus told that parable because there were people among them who thought that the kingdom of God was going to come quickly. Now, where in the world would they have gotten that idea? From him. Because sometimes he said the kingdom of God is here. Sometimes he said, no, it's not here, but it's almost here. And sometimes he said, ah, you're right, it's an end of the world thing. And this is just really, really confusing. It's here, it's almost here, it's future. The kingdom of God is unfiltered power and grace and love. According to Jesus, it's a right now thing. It's an any second thing. And it's a not until the end of the world thing. And just, like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, if you're paying attention right now, you should be super confused. Who's with me? Confused? We confused? Great. Perfect. Because it's confused. We can't wrap our head around that. And because it's hard for us to understand how all three of the things that Jesus said about the kingdom of God can be true at the same time, all throughout Christian history, it has been the tendency of different pockets of the church to pick one of those things and just focus in on that to the exclusion of the others. All right? That's been the tendency for a long, long, long time. So, in one camp, and this refers sort of broadly to different sort of corners of Christianity at different times throughout history, but one camp emerges and says, we're going with the stuff that Jesus said about the kingdom of God being a right now thing, about it being all here right now, and we're focusing on that. And so they focused on that, and then out of that came these series of expectations that are logical when you focus on that. They concluded, well, that means everybody can and should be healed and will be healed unless something's wrong. Everybody can hear from God. Everybody should be sanctified. And by sanctified, they mean absolutely, truly, completely holy in every way, as in they'll never sin again the rest of their days on earth. Which really worked out poorly when sinful people said that, okay? But that is a logical conclusion to draw if your focus is on the kingdom of God being now. Because why wouldn't those things happen? Well, if the kingdom of God is here in full right now, why wouldn't we experience the renewal of all things right now? And so along the way, there's been another camp that has emerged. I said, no, let's not focus on that. Not the kingdom now stuff. Let's focus on the kingdom of God being a future thing. And let's just focus on that to the exclusion of the other stuff. It's just an end of the world, down the corridors of history type of thing. And so the healing and the signs and the wonders and the voice of God to us in our lives, those are all real things, but number one, not since the apostles, and number two, not again until Jesus comes back. Not since the apostles, and not again until Jesus. And when Jesus comes back, absolutely all that stuff will happen. That's the deal. And so it's tended to be, throughout history, all around the church, one extreme or the other. One extreme or the other. And then the Vineyard kind of steps in and says, okay, here's the thing. If Jesus said that the kingdom of God is a right now thing, and if he said it's an any second thing, and if he said it's a future thing, and if we're like Bible people, Jesus people, and we absolutely are, then just like full stop, it has to be all those things. So what if you can't understand it? Jesus meant all the stuff that he said. And we're not going to throw out things that we can't pick and choose. It's not a salad bar. We say, I'll take this and not that. No, no, no. We receive and we hold on to everything that Jesus said. And so out of that, here's the explanation. Zero in. If you miss this, then you kind of missed it all, okay? The kingdom of God was established on the earth through the ministry of Jesus. It was. Jesus taught that. The kingdom of God has come. But it hasn't come in full. We are experiencing the powers of what Christ has done and of his presence here on the earth, but not fully. And it's not here fully until the end of the age. At the end of the age, we experience it in full. And so, yes, the kingdom of God is a right now thing because it's here now, but not fully. And yes, just as Jesus said, the kingdom of God is a future thing. Because it's not until the future end of the age that we experience it in full. You guys still with me? Making sense? Now, in the meantime, don't miss this. As we live in the tension of the kingdom of God being already here, but not yet fully here, there will be times that God will reach into the brokenness of this world and he will give us a glimpse, an early installment of what it will be like when his kingdom comes in full at the end. He'll give us a taste of the future where there is no pain, where there's no suffering, where we walk and talk with the Lord. And that is what is happening when people are healed, or when God speaks to us, or we see God move in power today. It is a little taste of what's coming. Just a little taste. Little glimpses. And here's the thing. God can do that at any time. And he has done that throughout history in unexpected moments. And so, yes, just like Jesus said, the kingdom of God is also an any second thing too. Jesus meant all of what he said. The kingdom of God is here now. The kingdom of God is an end of the world thing. And the kingdom of God is an any second thing. Because he could reach into the brokenness of our lives at any time and give us a taste of heaven that awaits us. You guys still with me? All right, so here's one example of how this works out. A real life example perhaps will help. Say a person is sick and they receive prayer for that sickness. Well, that's pretty binary, right? Like we pray for them, it either works or it doesn't. They either get better or they don't get better. So in this scenario, let's say that person is prayed for and they are healed, okay? In that case, you got people on different sides of the spectrum who are going to respond in different ways. You got the kingdom now people, the people who think that everybody should be healed. They're going to say, see, I told you. That's what God does. I told you that stuff could happen. And the kingdom future people are saying, no, not to the end of the age. Well, the people in that camp, they have to like try to scramble and figure out how to explain it away. You know, well, I mean, how do you really prove that? And maybe they feel good now, but were they going to feel good tomorrow? We don't really know. And maybe that was just a psychosomatic thing, you know. Or maybe God just made an exception. He's the king of the universe. He can make an exception, I guess. So they're scrambling. One of them's triumphant, and the other one's scrambling. And then the vineyard person steps in and just says, praise the Lord. Well, here's the other scenario. Say we pray for that person who's sick and they're not healed. Like nothing happens. They're not any better at all. Well, the kingdom future people, the people who say that stuff doesn't happen today, they're going, ha-ha, I told you. I told you this stuff doesn't work. I told you it's not until the end of the age. I told you that's not a thing. And then now, the kingdom now, folks, the people are saying, oh yeah, everybody should be healed. Well, they're scrambling. And they've got to figure out how to explain the not now-ness of this. They've got to figure out how to explain why this didn't happen. And they scramble and say, wow, that person who got prayed for, they probably had sin in their lives. Or maybe the person praying for them had sin in their lives. Yeah, or maybe they didn't have enough faith. Or the person praying for them didn't have enough faith. Or maybe they didn't pray the right way. All right? Or maybe, I don't know, maybe the band wasn't loud enough. Or I didn't see anybody sweating. We all know God can't heal anybody unless there's a preacher sweating through his suit somewhere. Maybe that's it. They start scrambling. There has to be some human reason why this didn't happen. And then the vineyard person steps in and says, praise the Lord. And, one more thing, maybe we'll try again tomorrow. That's it. Don't miss this. It's really simple, really important. People are often healed because the kingdom of God has come. And people, sadly, are sometimes not healed because the kingdom of God has not yet fully come. That's it in a nutshell. We don't need explanations or justifications or hype or emotionalism or any of that stuff. Our theology on this is actually really, really simple. Here it is. God asked us to ask. So we ask. And what he does in response is entirely up to him. And we love and trust him either way.